Scripture Stories is a program for you, the children. As you listen, remember that these stories are about real people who lived long ago. Read along with us. You'll find these stories in the Scripture Stories books, published by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Have your mother, father, teacher, or a friend help you find the story, and invite them to read along with you, too. If you remember last week, we read the story about King Lamoni, who wanted to take Ammon to meet his father. The Lord warned Ammon not to go because Lamoni's father would try to kill him. The Lord told Ammon to go instead to the land of Midoni, where his brother Aaron was in prison. King Lamoni went with Ammon. As they traveled, they met King Lamoni's father, who was king over all the land. He asked Lamoni where he was going with a lying Nephite. King Lamoni told his father about Ammon and his brother who was in prison. Angry, Lamoni's father ordered Lamoni to kill Ammon and not to go to Midoni. Lamoni refused to kill Ammon and said he and Ammon were going to free Aaron. Lamoni's father became angrier and drew his sword to kill Lamoni. Ammon stepped forward to protect Lamoni. Lamoni's father then tried to kill Ammon, but he defended himself and wounded the arm of Lamoni's father. When Lamoni's father saw that Ammon could kill him, he offered Ammon half of his kingdom if he would spare his life. Ammon said he wanted Aaron and his companions freed from prison and wanted Lamoni to be able to keep his kingdom. Lamoni's father realized that Ammon did not want to hurt him. He was amazed at how much Ammon loved his son. He invited Ammon to teach him the gospel. Ammon and King Lamoni went to Midoni. Lamoni spoke with the king there, and Aaron and his companions were released from prison. Ammon was sad to see how poorly they had been treated. They had suffered much, but had been patient. The Spirit guided Aaron and his companions to the land of Nephi to teach Lamoni's father, the king, over all the Lamanites. Aaron told the king he was Ammon's brother. The king had been thinking about Ammon's kindness and about what Ammon had said to him. Aaron asked the king if he believed in God. The king said he wasn't sure, but said he would believe if Aaron said God exists. Aaron assured the king that God lives. Aaron read the scriptures to the king. He taught him about the earth's creation, Adam's fall, and Jesus Christ's mission. The king asked what he needed to do to have the Holy Ghost and be ready to live with God. The king was willing to do anything, even give up his kingdom. Aaron told the king he needed to fully repent of his sins. He needed to pray and have faith in God. The king prayed to know if there really is a God. He said he would give up all his sins. The king fell to the ground and appeared to be dead. When the queen saw him, she thought Aaron and his companions had killed him. The queen ordered her servants to kill Aaron and his companions, but the servants were afraid to. She sent them to find other people who would do it. Before a large crowd could gather and cause trouble, Aaron took the king's hand and told him to stand. The king stood. The king calmed his frightened wife and servants and then taught them the gospel. They all believed in Jesus Christ.
Love one.
children at home, please turn to chapter 26, The People of Ammon.
The sons of Mosiah taught the gospel to the Lamanites. Thousands of the Lamanites repented and joined the church.
Those Lamanites that joined the church called themselves Anti-Nephi-Lehis, or the people of Ammon. They were good, hard-working people.
The Lamanites who did not repent were angry with the people of Ammon and prepared to fight them.
The people of Ammon knew that the wicked Lamanites would come to kill them, but decided not to fight back. They had repented of killing.
They buried their weapons deep in the ground and promised God they would never kill again.
When the wicked Lamanites began killing them, they bowed to the ground and prayed.
Seeing that the people of Ammon would not fight back, many of the wicked Lamanites stopped killing them.
The Lamanites were sorry that they had killed. They threw down their weapons and joined the people of Ammon.
They would not fight anymore.
More Lamanites came to kill the people of Ammon. They still would not fight back, and many were killed.
Not wanting the people he loved to be destroyed, Ammon prayed for help.
The Lord told him to take his people and leave the land.
The Nephites in Zarahemla gave Ammon and his people the land of Jershon and protected them. They became friends. So why did the sons of Mosiah want to preach the gospel among the Lamanites? Who can tell me why they wanted to preach to the Lamanites? Yes, Caitlin.
So they'd believe.
So they would believe? Okay, that's a good reason to preach to the Lamanites. Why didn't they believe? Yeah, Anders.
They thought that Ammon and the missionaries were foolish and they just didn't want to believe them.
Good, good. So why was it important for them to believe? Why was it important for the Lamanites to believe? Yes, Caitlin.
Because God is real and Jesus will come and suffer for us.
Excellent. So how could they tell that the Lamanites were converted to Jesus Christ? What did they do? I'll ask Mason. What do you think?
Because they actually threw down their weapons and stopped killing them.
Okay. What did they do first that made them throw down their weapons? Yeah, Caitlin.
They were sorry.
They felt sorry. Okay. What do you do when you feel sorry, when you've been doing something wrong and you feel sorry? Megan.
We repent.
You repent. Okay. Excellent. Yes, Caitlin.
You say sorry that you did that and then you repent.
Okay. Wonderful. And what did they call themselves? Yes, Anders.
Anti-Nephi-Lehis.
Excellent. What did they call themselves, Caitlin?
Or the people of Ammon.
Or the people of Ammon. That's a little easier to say, right? Okay. Wonderful. So what can we do to keep our faith in Jesus Christ strong, like they did? Yes, Caitlin.
By keeping our testimonies and share them in sacrament, maybe.
Wonderful. That's a wonderful way to keep our testimonies strong. Yes, Megan.
By staying with the church and standing up for what we believe in.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you, Anders.
Read the scriptures and say your prayers every day.
Wonderful. That's so important to do to keep our faith strong. Yes, Caitlin.
Take the sacrament.
Excellent. These are all wonderful ideas. Yes, you have another one, Caitlin.
Sing primary songs in church.
Ooh, that's a great one. Anders.
Think about good things, not bad.
Think about good things, not bad. Oh, that's an excellent one. We need to keep our thoughts pure, right? We need to keep them clean. Mason, what do you think? How can we keep our faith in Jesus Christ strong?
Keep a testimony.
Keep a testimony. How do you keep a testimony? That's a great idea.
You keep on remembering what you say in it, and you keep on telling people at church.
Okay, you keep on telling people at church. That's excellent. And maybe even people outside of church? You can share your testimony with other people too, right? Excellent. Caitlin?
Sing the hymns.
Sing the hymns. All right. Excellent. Megan?
Well, we can be good examples and remember that no matter what, Jesus is always going to be there for us no matter what decision we make.
Okay. That's wonderful. That's a great testimony to have, right? Okay. Caitlin, you have another one. You're full of answers today. Excellent.
When you get older and you play the piano, you can play for the primary or sacrament.
Excellent. So by serving others, that's an excellent way of keeping our faith strong. Anders?
Get baptized.
Get baptized. Okay. Yes, and Megan?
Keep our faith strong no matter what happens.
No matter what happens. That's kind of what they did, right? They kept their faith strong no matter what happens. Okay? Why were the Anti-Nephi-Lehis determined to not fight against their enemies? Why were they so determined not to fight against their enemies? Yes.
Because Jesus said to love one another.
Okay. So they were following the commandments there? And what else did they do? that made them decide that they were never going to fight their enemies? Yes, Megan.
Because Heavenly Father told them not to, and they heard Heavenly Father speak to them in their own individual way, that they knew that Heavenly Father was real.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, Caitlin.
They knew it was not right.
They knew it was not right. Excellent. And they had repented. What does that mean to repent, Mason? What does that mean when you repent?
To pray and say you're sorry for all the sins that you've done.
Okay, so you pray and you say you're sorry. What else do you do, Anders, when you repent? If you say you're sorry and you're never going to do it again, what else do you have to do?
You make a covenant.
Okay.
You will not do it again.
That you will not do it again. Wonderful. And that's exactly what they did, right? They decided that they were not going to do it again. They made a covenant and they repented. So how committed were the anti-Nephi Lehis to keeping this covenant? Yes, Megan.
They were so committed that they would even be killed just to tell themselves, I'm not going to fight. If it takes myself not to fight, then I guess if it takes me to be killed not to fight, then I guess I should be killed because I'm not going to fight back.
Okay, so their covenant was that important to them, right? Excellent. Anders, can you tell me how committed the anti-Nephi Lehis were to keeping the covenant?
They believed in Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father, and even though they knew Lamanites were going to kill them, they just kept their covenant. They wouldn't fight back.
Okay. Excellent. Were some of the anti-Nephi Lehis killed? They were, and they still kept their covenant. Wonderful. Why did they change their name? Why did they decide to change their name to anti-Nephi Lehis? Yeah, Megan, do you know?
Maybe because when they were Lamanites, when they were called Lamanites, they probably remembered that they were killing, so they called themselves Lamanites. They probably wanted to change their name so they could have a new start.
Okay, a new start. That's an excellent point. Thank you. I think you're right. So it's kind of like when we get baptized, right? We take upon ourselves the name of Christ. We're taking on us a good name, something that has good connotations with it, makes us want to be better, right? Excellent. So what commandments have we covenanted to obey? Anders, what do you think?
Respect your mom and dad.
Ooh, that's a good one. Excellent. Mason, what's some commandments that we've covenanted to obey?
We will love thy neighbor.
Oh, excellent. Wonderful. Caitlin?
To be married in the temple and sealed to your family, and maybe to do baptisms for the dead so people who weren't baptized can be baptized.
Excellent. Because we want to return to our Heavenly Father. Wonderful. All of those things are necessary for that. Megan, what do you think? What are some commandments you've covenanted to obey?
I've made a covenant with my parents that I promised I'd obey because I had been over 8 and I had been baptized, so I wanted to make my life better and have a new start.
That's a wonderful way to make a new start and make your life better. Excellent. Anders?
Be modest.
Be modest. That's such an important one today. Wonderful. What are some other commandments that we've covenanted to obey? Caitlin.
For girls, one piercing.
Okay.
And for boys, no piercings.
Wonderful. Now, was that commandment given long, long ago, back in the scriptures, or was that a recent commandment? Do you know who gave us that one?
Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father and the prophets.
Okay, excellent. And the prophets. Prophets did it. Yes, Anders.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth. Wonderful. That's an excellent thing to obey. Okay, what happened to many of the Lamanite warriors, those that were killing the anti-Nephi Lehis? What happened to them when they saw that they would not fight, but lay down and be killed? Caitlin?
They probably knew that their testimony was really strong and that they'd rather be killed because they're not going to fight back. They're like, you know, we made a promise with Heavenly Father and we don't break promises.
Excellent. That was a pretty strong example, wouldn't you say? Megan?
What happened to a lot of them is they were sorry and they put down their weapons and buried them. So they wouldn't fight and they weren't tempted.
And they weren't tempted. Excellent. Great answer. Caitlin?
And then when the Lamanites saw them laying down to be killed, they threw down their weapons and began praying with the people of Ammon because they're like, this isn't a good thing.
Okay, so they saw that it wasn't a good thing because of the example of the anti-Nephi Lehis, right? So let's bring this to our day today, okay? All right, so how can our example help others want to join the church? So what do you think, Mason? How can your example help others want to join the church?
Well, sometimes I tell my friend to come with me to church and he just says, no, I'm already in a different religion and I just want him to come so he can return to heaven again.
Okay. So have you asked him that just once or a couple of times?
A couple of times.
Great. So you keep asking him. That's a wonderful thing to do. Because sometime he might say, yes, sure, I'd like to come with you. That's a great thing to do. Anders, what do you think? How can your example help others want to join the church?
Keep asking them or go to church and tell them about Jesus Christ and tell them about baptism.
Okay, so you could tell them about going to church and about baptism. That's great. Wonderful. Megan?
Kind of like Anders, sometimes if they're afraid to switch because they've already done so many bad things and they switch, they think they won't go away, you can tell them, yeah, about baptism and tell them that what it'll do to them.
Okay. And what will baptism do for them?
It'll wash away all of the bad sins and, like, it'll, like, have you reborn so that you have no sins. You can start over again.
Wow. What a wonderful thing, isn't it? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Anders?
It'll make you pure and clean.
Excellent. Thank you. What else will baptism do for you? Caitlin, what will baptism do for you?
It gives you a new start, and Heavenly Father gives you for all your sins that have happened in the past. And you can look towards the future by getting married in the temple sometime because baptism is a really important thing in your life.
Excellent. Why is baptism important to you, Mason?
It's very important to my family that I get forgiven because I feel like I feel like I go into the water all dirty and I come out all clean.
That is a wonderful thing to feel. Feel that pureness and that cleanliness, right, when you come out of the water. Caitlin, what were you going to say?
I like baptism because you get the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and it can tell you what's right and what's wrong.
Wonderful. These are, yeah, go ahead.
What to do and what not to do.
And what to do and what not to do. Excellent. These are all wonderful answers. Let me ask this question to you. How can our example of keeping our covenants help others want to keep their covenants? Yeah, Caitlin.
Because maybe they'll think, you know, they're probably doing the right thing, but I don't know what I'm doing, so maybe I need to.
Okay. All right, so your example might inspire them to do well like you. Yes, Anders, what were you going to say?
If you're keeping your covenants and you're showing them that you're keeping your covenants, then they'll want to keep their covenants.
So why do you think people who are truly converted to the gospel have love and concern for everyone, including their enemies? Yes, Caitlin.
They probably love everybody because they made a covenant to Heavenly Father.
That's a wonderful reason to love everybody. Excellent. Yes, thank you. Anders?
Jesus Christ said so.
Haha. That's probably the best reason of all, right? Megan?
Because they'll probably feel bad for them because they have lost their way. They don't know what's true and what's what in life. And so they probably feel bad for them and want to care for them and teach them about the gospel so that they can be happier.
Okay. That's a great answer. Thank you. Mason, what do you think? Why do you think people who are truly converted to the gospel of Jesus Christ have love and concern for everyone, including their enemies?
Because just like Jesus, one of the commandments is love one another as I have loved you.
Excellent.
They try to love each other so they can get closer to Jesus.
Wonderful. That's a great answer. So why were the anti-Nephi Lehis not afraid to die?
Because they wanted to return to Heavenly Father and they didn't want to sin and fight back because they knew it wasn't right.
Excellent. They knew and they'd made a covenant, right? Caitlin, what do you think?
Because their testimony was so strong, they knew that if I die, I'm going to go live with Heavenly Father. And that's where I want to go, is I want to live with Heavenly Father someday. And my testimony really is strong. So I bet they probably had a really, really strong testimony. That's why they wouldn't fight back. They'd rather be killed.
Wonderful. Thank you. Anders, what do you think?
They had faith in Jesus Christ.
They had faith in Jesus Christ.
He would save them because they obeyed his commandments and they made a covenant and they obeyed his covenant and they kept their covenant.
Wonderful. So that is why the Anti-Nephi Lehis were not afraid to die. That's excellent. Megan, why were the Anti-Nephi Lehis not afraid to die?
Well, they weren't afraid to die because their faith was so strong that they knew where straight where they'd go because of the big decision and the big change that they had made in their lives. They knew that Heavenly Father would accept them up in heaven.
Okay. So they knew because of the decision that they'd made, because of the covenant, that they would be accepted by Heavenly Father up in heaven. So how can we, what can we do to become more like the Anti-Nephi-Lehis and be strong like them in honoring our covenants? Caitlin.
Go through the temple and have a strong testimony like they did.
Okay, wonderful. So going through the temple, we can be strong like them. Excellent. Yes.
Yeah. Being baptized.
Being baptized. That's a great way to become more like the Anti-Nephi-Lehis in honoring our covenants. Yes, Anders.
Say your prayers.
Say your prayers. Good answer. All right, Megan.
Strengthen our faith and our testimonies every day and know that if we want to go back to heaven, that we can be like the Anti-Nephi-Lehis someday if we choose the right things.
Wonderful. That's a wonderful response. Thank you. Caitlin.
Read the scriptures.
Read the scriptures. That's a wonderful way.
And keep the commandments.
And keep the commandments. Excellent. Mason, what do you think? What can you do to become more like the Anti-Nephi-Lehis in honoring your covenants?
Well, I can go to church and read my scriptures daily.
That's excellent. What does that do for you, reading your scriptures daily?
Well, it's giving you more knowledge of Christ.
Okay. That's a wonderful thing to have, right? More and more knowledge. Caitlin?
Maybe reading the Friend magazine that comes.
Excellent. I love reading The Friend. It's got some wonderful stories in it. Yes, Anders?
Not only say your prayers in the nighttime and daytime, you can say your prayers any time you need help.
Excellent. I thank you for saying that. You really can. You can say your prayers anytime you need help, and Heavenly Father will help you with that. I know that to be true. Children, please turn to chapter 27, page 75, Korihor.
A man named Korihor came to Zarahemla. He did not believe in Jesus Christ and preached that what the prophets had said about the Savior was not true.
Korihor told the people they were foolish to believe that Jesus Christ would come to earth and suffer for their sins.
He said people could not be punished for their sins because there was no life after death. Many people believed Korihor. They became wicked.
Korihor tried preaching to the people of Ammon, but they would not listen. They tied him up and took him to Ammon, who forced him out of the city.
Korihor went to the land of Gideon, but the people there would not listen to him either. The chief judge sent him to Alma.
Alma asked Korihor if he believed in God. Korihor said he did not. Alma testified that there is a God and that Christ would come.
Korihor wanted Alma to perform a miracle to prove there is a God. Korihor said he would believe in God if he saw a sign of God's power.
Allah told Korihor he had already seen many signs of God's power through the scriptures and the testimonies of all the prophets.
Alma said the earth and everything on it and the movement of the planets in the sky are also signs that there is a God.
Korihor still refused to believe. Alma was sad because of Korihor's wickedness and warned him that his soul might be destroyed.
Korihor still wanted a sign to prove there is a God. Alma said the sign from God would be that Korihor would not be able to speak.
After Alma said this, Korihor could not speak.
Korihor wrote that he knew this sign was from God and that he had always known there is a God. He asked Alma to pray and remove the curse.
Alma knew that if Korihor could speak, he would lie again to the people. Alma said the Lord would decide if Korihor could speak again.
The Lord did not give Korihor back his speech. Korihor went from house to house begging for food.
The chief judge sent a letter throughout the land telling what had happened to Korihor. He told those who had believed Korihor to repent.
The people repented.
Korihor went to live with the Zoramites. One day while he was begging, he was trampled to death.
Why did Korihor say that the people were foolish, Megan?
Because he didn't believe in it himself.
Okay, he didn't believe in it himself. Why did he say the people were foolish? Why did Korihor say the people were foolish, Caitlin?
He said the people were foolish because he's like, there is no sign. I haven't seen a miracle or anything around here that there is a God. So I need proof that there is a God.
Okay, wonderful. He wanted proof. Yes, Anders.
He didn't believe that Heavenly Father would come to the earth.
Okay, so he didn't believe.
Everybody's sins.
Okay, so he didn't believe that. Wonderful. Megan?
He thought they were all weird because they were believing in something that they couldn't see. So they're like, what are you looking at? I can't see anything. Because it's called faith, something in believing in what you can't see.
Excellent. You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say that. Wonderful. Caitlin?
He probably's like, it's just an old fairy tale. Maybe the prophets made it up so everybody would start believing, but it's really not. It's really true.
It is really true. That's very true. So how can we know for ourselves that Jesus Christ lives? How can we know if we haven't seen him? Yes.
By going to church and learning about his teachings.
Wonderful answer. Yes, Anders.
Reading the scriptures.
By reading the scriptures. Wonderful. Mason, how can you know for yourself that Jesus Christ lives?
Well, I can read the scriptures and I know that they found the gold plates and they were made by God. So if there was no God, there would be no scriptures.
That's excellent. That's very true. Okay. Why can't we overcome sin on our own? How come we can't do it by ourselves? Yes, Megan.
Well, we can't overcome sin on our own because Heavenly Father, we need to ask him if it's okay that it is something that he can forgive us by, because we made a covenant to him that we would, you know, choose the right and do things that are right. And if we broke that, it's up to him whether or not it's okay to forgive, or if it's a really bad sin that, you know, kind of what happens there.
So what experiences have you had that helped you know that Heavenly Father lives? What experiences have you had? Anders, have you had any experiences that helped you know that Heavenly Father lives?
You know that Heavenly Father lives because he created this world with Jesus. So you know that he lives because if you say a prayer, he answers it, and sometimes you just know.
That's right. And just like Alma said, the earth and everything on it and the planets in the sky. Yeah, excellent. Megan?
Well, because we know it, because it's all in our heart. Everything that we know just stays in our heart, that Jesus Christ really lives.
Okay. Children, I know that we will not be deceived if we keep the commandments and if we follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost and study the scriptures and follow the living prophet. We have learned so much. I hope we'll all thank Heavenly Father in our prayers for all he taught us. And I hope we'll keep talking about the things we've learned with our families and other people we love. Next week, we'll read chapter 28, The Zoramites and the Ramiumptum, and chapter 29, Alma teaches about faith and the Word of God. If you'd like to listen to this program again, a grown-up can help you get a copy to play on your computer, iPod, or other music player at radio.lds.org. You can also sign up to get new episodes as soon as they're ready. If you'd like your own copies of the Scripture Stories as books or DVDs, you can find them at scripturestories.lds.org, or a grown-up can buy them at your local church distribution center.
See you!